Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Great to see you all here. Very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us today. If you live in the area and are looking for a church to call your very own home, we'd love to have you join us here at Atonement to speak to me, and we'll make sure that happens soon. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts that God gives us at his table today. I think the only announcement I want to make is that tomorrow evening it's our turn to serve the Stone Soup Supper at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church. There's information on the Words of the Week about how you can help in that, so show up and have a good time. It's always fun. Any other announcements need to be made this morning? Please read the rest of them carefully. And
Pastor, unfortunately there's no script to be had at the present moment.
No script to be had at this time.
No,
all right. Okay. You'll notify us. Let us know when the script will be available. It must be some sort of a shutdown or something. I don't know. Okay. Let's stand for the words of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us.
Amen.
Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We have closed our hearts to your love and have resisted your light. We have failed to care for the poor and to proclaim your mercy. Forgive what we have done and what we have left undone. Heal us with your abundant grace and help us to walk as children of the light. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. Our gathering hymn is number 673. Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
in peace, let us pray to the Lord. So when Lucy and I got married, we made some promises to each other. I promised to love and cherish her and to be faithful to her as long as I live. And she promised to love and cherish and obey me. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. And to be faithful to... So after you say those promises, then you put on a ring. And so the ring symbolizes those promises. So every time I look at that ring, it's a reminder to me that I made those promises and I should keep them, right? Forgot my stuff up here. What's that?
No, I'm an American flag.
It's an American flag on a what? That's a postage stamp, right? And what's a postage stamp? A postage stamp is a promise. So I could write a note in here, and I could write Lily, and I could write down your address, and because that stamp is there, the post office promises me that they will take this and they will deliver it right to your house. I could write my sister's name in Texas, and because I bought that stamp and put it on there, the post office promises me that they will take this and deliver it right to her door in Texas. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
What a great promise. I could write anybody's name on there. And because the stamp is there, they promise that they will take it right to them and give it to them. That's really cool. Great promise. So, people make promises all the time, right? Do they ever keep them? Sometimes, but sometimes we don't, right? But who always keeps their promise?
Jesus.
Jesus always keeps his promise. And today, Jesus is talking about some promises that God made in the Old Testament. He opens up the Bible, his Bible, to Isaiah, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Those were some promises that God made to his people through the prophet Isaiah, long, long time before Jesus was born. And Jesus read that, and you know what he said to those people? He said, "Today, this very day, these scriptures are fulfilled." So he says, "I am the fulfillment of those promises that God made to God's people, and today it's happening." So Jesus is the promise keeper, right? And he will keep his promise to love us forever, won't he? No matter what. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for the precious promise of your love for us that is eternal. Help us to live in that love and help us to share the good news of that love with all our friends so that they can come and worship you with us. Bless Lily and keep her in your love and care today and always. Amen. Thanks, Lily. You can go out there for Sunday school. I think Sue is waiting for you.
lesson this morning is from Nehemiah chapter 8. The exiles have returned and rebuilt Jerusalem. Now Ezra the priest reads the law of Moses to them in the public square. When they hear it, they weep for their sins and the long years in exile. But Ezra reminds them that the joy of the Lord is their strength. Hear now the word. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 5 in your bulletin, and we'll read responsively with you reading the dark print. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day tells the tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound does not have all the lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched a tent for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens, and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice in heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter are than honey, than any in the world.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my sin and faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
The second lesson comes from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The apostle and Pastor Paul uses the metaphor of the human body to describe how intimately connected we are in the church. For this struggling congregation in Corinth, Paul delivers a vital message of unity that is a mark of the church today. Hear now the word. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. This morning, we are invited by our gospel reading to go to church with Jesus. So I invite you to imagine that we are sitting in the synagogue in Nazareth on that Sabbath day when these events took place. The service would have begun in the usual way. The rabbi in charge would go to the front and say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Prayers and songs would follow, and then at the center of worship, someone would stand and read from the scripture. Different people, all males, of course, would be selected to do this. Often, if someone were having a significant event in their lives, he would be asked to read. Or if a visiting rabbi was in attendance, he would be honored by being asked to read. But on this day was different. And it was special because Jesus was there. Of course, he had been there many times before, for this was his hometown and this was his synagogue. It was here among these people that Jesus had grown up. It was here at this synagogue where Jesus had learned to pray and to worship, where he sang the Psalms and where he memorized his scripture. Everybody there that day knew him. He was Joseph's boy. He was the carpenter's son. But Jesus had been away for some time now, and everyone had heard that he had become a teacher, and a rather remarkable one at that. People all around the area were talking about him, and so when Jesus came home and went to the synagogue, everyone was there. The place was packed that day. Yes, Jesus was there, but there was also something different about him, something hard to define. Oh, he was still Joseph's boy, but now somehow he seemed to be more than that. There was a confidence, there was an aura of authority about him that nobody could miss. So as Jesus stood before them, poised to read God's word to them, the room became very, very still. Everyone sensed that something important was happening in their midst. The passage that Jesus selected was a very familiar one to the people. The scroll was from Isaiah, and from it Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." All the people sighed, for this was one of their favorite passages. The people loved to hear this passage read, for it proclaimed the hope that one day God would act for his people. This passage spoke of how God's grace would free them from all the burdens in their lives and what life would be like when God's justice and God's plan for this world was finally fulfilled, not just for one day or one year, but forever. After reading these words, Jesus rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant. Then he sat down, not to indicate that he was finished, but to let them know that now he would teach them about this scripture. He sat down in the chair. He looked into all the familiar faces that he saw there. And unblinking, he said to them, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Well, that's the end of the story for this week. Come back next Sunday if you want to hear the rest of Jesus' sermon and the rather startling response that it evoked. But today we're left with these words to chew on and to let inform our own lives as followers of Jesus. Now in Luke's gospel, these are the very first public words that Jesus speaks as he begins his ministry, his mission in this world. Just a few verses earlier, Jesus had been baptized by John in the Jordan River, and a voice had proclaimed him to be God's beloved son. Right after that, the Spirit of God led Jesus off into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan to misapply his divine power for personal benefit and gain. Throughout this time, the unspoken question has been, what does it mean that Jesus is God's son, God's Messiah, God's anointed one? What kind of Messiah, what kind of Savior will he be? As Messiah, just what will he do? Well, these are the questions that Jesus answers in the synagogue in Nazareth that day. Jesus selected this passage from Isaiah as his agenda, as his outline, as his job description for the life of mission and ministry that he was about to begin. What does it mean that he's Messiah? What will he do? This is what he will do. He will proclaim good news to the poor. He will proclaim recovery of sight to the blind and freedom to all who are held in captivity or oppression. All of us who have read the gospel story of Jesus know that that is exactly what he did then. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He announced to outcasts that they too were part of God's family. He forgave the sins of all who had fallen. And on the cross, he poured out his blood so that all of us might be made whole again. Today, Jesus said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That was the epiphany. That was the light bulb event for those people in Nazareth 2,000 years ago. And it is the epiphany, the light bulb event for us here today as well. That is the revelation of who Jesus was then and who he still is today. He is the good news sent by God. He is the one who came to bring all of humanity, even you and me, back into relationship with God. Jesus has come as gospel medicine to heal our wounds, to free us from all that holds us in bondage, and to make us one with our God. This is the good news that Jesus announces even today to we who are gathered in this place to worship and to hear his words. Today, his words are fulfilled. Today, Jesus comes among us again in word and sacrament to shower upon us his gifts of unconditional love and mercy and to open the kingdom of God for us. But as wonderful as that is, these words have an even deeper meaning for us here today, for they also have implications for who we are now as God's people in this world. In our second reading for today, St. Paul reminds us that we are now the body of Christ, meaning that we are the ones who are now called to embody Christ, to be Christ in this community and in this world that we live in. And so as these words formed the outline of Jesus' ministry and set the agenda for his mission, as they served as a job description for him, so too do they tell us what our calling is as God's people today. When people join the church, as the Gilberts did here last Sunday, there are a number of questions that are asked, and today I would ask them of all of you. Will you proclaim the good news of God in Christ through your words and your deeds? Will you serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus? Will you strive for, will you work for peace and justice for all people of the earth? These are questions that I think Jesus is asking each of us today. And I hope that your response and mine will be, yes, I will. And I ask God to help me. Now, there's a story told of President Abraham Lincoln, who during the middle years of the Civil War attended worship services at a New York Presbyterian church, where the pastor was a renowned preacher of his day. After the service was concluded, President Lincoln remained in his pew for a long time. As he was finally leaving, one of his aides asked him, "Mr. President, what did you think of the sermon today?" To which President Lincoln replied, "I thought it was eloquent, well thought out, and powerfully delivered." "Then you liked it?" the aide asked. "No, I didn't," the president answered. "The sermon failed, for it did not ask of us something great." Well, in Jesus' words today, he asks of us something great. He asks us to leave behind our self-centered ways, our fears, and to be at work for him in this world. He asks us to take his words of liberation and salvation to heart and to make them our mission, our identity, and our way of life. All around us in this broken, disjointed world, there are people who are hurting, people who are in bondage, people who are hungry for a word of acceptance and affirmation, for words of hope and love. And so today, Jesus asks each of us, will you be gospel medicine in my name to those you meet this week? Having been loved, will you now go and love? Having been accepted, will you go and be accepting? Having been forgiven, will you now go and forgive? Having been freed, will you go and be an instrument of freedom for those who are oppressed? Will you give of yourself to others as I have given myself to you? In the words of that great old hymn, may our answer be, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. Amen. Please stand as we sing, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, number 848.